Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Sabbath service delivered from Burlington, CGI Burlington. Today's sermon will be delivered by Deacon Jan Kowalczyk. Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Sabbath. And the sermon today is entitled, The Exodus, God's Power at Work.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Sabbath services. Today is Sabbath, and tomorrow will be the first day of unleavened bread. Now, to start off, we'll have Pastor Murray open up with an opening prayer.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, and you, Jesus Christ, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. On this most holy Sabbath day, we ask you to accept us into your presence. We thank you for setting aside time for holy convocation, not just here together for a Sabbath service, but the entire 24-hour period that allows us to convocate with you and Jesus Christ. And we, again, give you all glory, honor, and praise, especially being so mindful of this time of year, the annual memorial of what took place that allows us to be here, that allows us to be grafted into a covenant that goes back thousands of years. We are just so very grateful for all of these things. We're grateful that you have reached down and called us and know who we are and revealed yourselves to us. We ask for your blessing here this day as we are in the middle of about 2.5 days full of worship of you. It began last night with a most meaningful Passover service. We thank you for guiding your people through that, especially the many that were forced to keep it isolated given the current conditions we have. Ask you to be with us this day and this evening as we celebrate the night to be much observed following this Sabbath day and usher in a 7-day period of rejoicing and more learning and reminders of what it means to put evil and sin out of our lives and change our behavior and ingest Jesus Christ. And we are just so very grateful for all that we've learned this last year. And as the new calendar has turned and we begin a new holy day season this year, we ask you to help us to take to heart all that we read, all that we hear, and all that you want us to be. And we just now ask you for your presence here. We ask you to be with our brother Jan, who will bring your words to us, guide and direct the others that are serving here with the piano and the praying and the scripture reading and the hosting, and just help the technology to hold up. We're very grateful for this opportunity to serve and grateful for this opportunity to be together before your throne. We thank you. We look forward to a most holy weekend, and we do all things in the name of our Savior and King, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you. And at this time, we're going to have an opening hymn. If you have a paper copy, it'll be on page 61. If not, the words will be on your screen. 61, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great hymn. And now this time we're going to have a scripture reading taken from Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 to 8 by Brother Tom Mellick.
Happy Passover and Sabbath, everyone. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. This is the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, but at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which the Lord your God chooses. And in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh day there shall be a sacred assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it.
Thank you, Brother Tom. This time, just a couple announcements. And as today is Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins tonight at sunset. And tonight is also the night to be much observed this evening. There's a holiday services tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. on this website right here. We do take up an offering on our annual high days, so please plan accordingly. The last day of Unleavened Bread will be next Sabbath at 2:30 p.m., also right here. And same goes for that, as an offering will be taken up, so plan accordingly for that as well. Bible study will be Wednesday, March 31st at 7:30 p.m. will be on Isaiah 7. Following, there are still some questions left from last week, so tune in for a Q&A again. And at this time, we'll call on Pastor Adrian for the intercessory prayer.
Sorry, brethren, I see that I was just on mute there. We're just praying for these brethren. And starting off with our sister Margaret, we have received news that our sister Margaret was among the saints in Ottawa, singing that final hymn of the Passover service. And we thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers regarding her, and that she could be among the saints praising you with her beautiful voice. We pray, Father, that you will continue to bless her healing and recovery, and we do pray for her full recovery. Also out of Ottawa, brethren, we have our sister Lori and her husband Pat and their twin boys. We thank you so much, Father, for Aaron's continued growth, his thriving at home. And we thank you so much, Father, for Caleb's progress, who we have been lifting up to you in prayer as he struggles to hold on to the breath of life. And we thank you, God, that he is progressing significantly. Very, very good evidence of his overcoming this ailment. We thank you that the doctors were able to identify the infection that was causing some of these problems. And we thank you, God, for his warrior spirit. We pray that you'll continue to give him that fight, and that would be with him throughout his whole life, and that this family, Father, would thrive as servants of Jehovah. We praise you for them, Father, and pray that you'll continue to be with them. And we look forward to hearing the news that young Caleb is at home, and that this whole experience will cause the family to draw closer to each other, to cherish each other more, and to draw closer to you and to Jesus Christ. Father, we also have our sister Violet, who is requesting prayers for her husband, who has had an incredibly invasive surgery and has been in incredible pain. We pray, God, for your mercy upon him. We pray that he will come through this, that already we pray that he is already experiencing improvement and healing. We just reach out to you, Father. When Christ was on earth, the mercy that he displayed with to all those who came to him with sickness, and he just placed his healing hands upon them and brought them health. And now here we are, Father, the saints, doing your work, responding to your calling, and yet being set back by these health issues. And so, Father, we know that suffering is a part of this calling, so we pray that all the saints who are going through difficulty now would be blessed through this suffering. But we also pray, Father, that you would lift the suffering, that you would heal, that you would comfort, and that you would help us as we receive answered prayer, that we would rejoice before you and never forget your tender mercies. Father, we have lost a warrior this week, Pastor Farrell Vincent. We thank you, God, for his long ministry and his long life, but death is an enemy, and he's been torn from us and torn from his wife, Barbara. We pray, God, that you'll have mercy on her, and she has to go through this grief, this heavy burden of grief. But we pray, Father, that she does not go through it alone, that you would be with her, that you would comfort her, that her family would be comforted as well, and that they would comfort each other through the many positive and happy memories with Farrell, and that they would rejoice knowing that he served you to the end, and that now we await his resurrection. We pray you'll bless his congregation, that they will continue to be blessed by all the edification that they received from him. And finally, Father, we pray that you would provide more laborers. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few, and now we've lost a laborer. So we pray, Father, that you will recruit more men into this ministry who will be faithful and who will faithfully strengthen and feed the flock. There are so many others, Father, out there. You know all of us. You know all of our situations, especially now as we come into this holy day season. We come before you, pleading for your mercy, pleading for your strength and your inspiration. We just thank you, God, for your loving kindness. We pray in the mighty and the holy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Adrian. And we apologize for the technical difficulties there at the beginning, but this time we will have another hymn, page 181, and the words will be up on the screen. His Mercy Never Fails, page 181. After which we'll have the sermon entitled The Exodus, God's Power at Work by Deacon Jan. Thank you.
Good afternoon and happy Sabbath to all of you. And before I get into my message today, I just want to say that what a unique this Sabbath day is today. It's not just the weekly Sabbath, but it's also the Passover Sabbath. And I was trying last night, I was trying to run back in my memory, and I've been in the church for over 20-something years. And I was trying to remember, I was even asking at the table if people can remember, when was the last time that this unique situation we experienced, having the weekly Sabbath and also at the same time a Passover in the same day? So if any of you can remember this thing, then maybe one of the chats, just let me know if you guys can remember when was the last time that this coincidence happened, that, you know, Sabbath day came at the same time with the Passover day. That would be greatly appreciated. So thank you so much for joining us today. And it's a little bit cooler here where we are in Canada. It's not like it used to be warm last week for a few days. It was almost a spring here. But it is what it is. And God's holiday is here. And we're just supposed to rejoice and celebrate. So last night, according to the commandment, we're observing the Lord's Passover. And I would like to begin exactly how we personally here started the evening last night in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 here, just, you all know these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, we just read here, there is a specific instruction that actually Paul is writing decades later when Christ died. And he's writing the same specific instructions to the Gentile church at Corinth, okay, about this holy time, this day. And he writes in verse 23, "For I, personally, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." And here's a specific timing. "That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So the same night, and this betrayal time is also very important, because the Passover wouldn't happen if Judas would not betray our Lord, right? And verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Each Passover, when we eat this bread, when we break this bread, when you eat this bread, that's what we do. We remember Christ's sacrifice, what he did for all of us. And then on top of this, verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This too, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" This is just the renewing of the covenant. Each year as we come, remember Christ's sacrifice, and each single one of us who is baptized, we renew our covenant with the Lord. And verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," and this is very important, that most Christianity has actually, they missed this part. "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim," or "you announce," "you declare," "you shout, Lord's death till he comes." So as long as we wait for Christ, till he's going to appear, we will keep this Passover over and over again. That's the basic commandment. Never go away. And here in this important thing, as we have the timing, first Paul says the timing is important. When did it happen? We know, we can't argue. At the night when she was betrayed, this is the beginning of the first month, at the beginning of the 14th day of the first month. And the importance about bread and wine, and then in the end he says, "We proclaiming Christ's death." Not his resurrection, we proclaiming Christ's death. Now, so that's what we kept last night. And today is a day portion. I know it's a Sabbath day, but it's also still a Passover day. Let me ask you this question. If I say to you, "Are you keeping the Passover?" What are the things coming to your mind? And I would ask you, "Are you keeping the Passover?" What are the things coming to your mind? Okay, now try to go a little bit back. Just imagine if you're the ancient Israelite. If someone would say and ask you, if you're the ancient Israelites, talking, let's say, about 1,000 years ago, if we ask you the same question, what did it mean to ancient Israelites keeping the Passover? What did it mean to these people? Okay? Keeping the Passover. Let's go to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. This is just right after they left Exodus. It's actually the following year in the wilderness. But here in verse, let's jump into verse 3. So here's the basic instructions again about the Passover. On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall keep it. So there is that, you shall keep it. You shall keep it. You shall keep the Lord's Passover. You shall keep it at its appointed time. And he says, according to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. So this is the instruction to ancient Israelites. So this is the Passover. This is not just about the timing when you slay the Passover lamb, but there's also comes with the ceremonies and all the rites associated with the Passover. The reason why I bring this subject, because most of us, when we think about the Passover, we think about one thing. We think about when the lamb was sacrificed. And right away we think, this needs to be exactly at the same time when Christ was sacrificed. We try to join these two events together. And we don't see anything else except this one event. Okay? Now let's just keep reading. Skip to verse 5. And they kept. So they kept the Passover. So what aspect of the Passover they kept? It's just laying of the lamb. What aspect? And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai. And then what? According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. Okay? Skip down to verse 11. On the 14th day of the second month, that's for some people who couldn't keep in the first month, who couldn't keep it on the first month. So there is a provision for a Passover. Only one day is provide like a second chance for people to partake it. It's just the Passover. No other day. But here, on the 14th day of the second month at twilight, they may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones. And again, look here what it says here. How does verse conclude? According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. So what were all the ordinances of the Passover other than slaying the lamb? So as soon as they slayed the lamb, they had to collect the blood, painted the doorpost, skinned the animal, roasted on the fire. They were supposed to eat it inside the home, right? Roasted, eat it inside the home. There was a specific, they had to be dressed specifically for this occasion, right? Ready to go. And all these things associated, you know, with the Passover. And then eventually in the morning, whatever was left over, they were supposed to burn it. Everything this commands, all the ceremonies is right. Everything is about, you know, the Passover. That's the same commandments for the same day, the same commandments for this great day, which is the Passover, right? So basically what I'm trying to hear, to tell you this, that all these rites, all the ceremonies, all the preparations, we're culminating into something important that's going to happen on this day. All this preparation, all of this thing, you know, as they chose the lamb on the 10th and slew the lamb on 14, and all this thing will build up for something very important that's going to happen on this day. Right? Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 here. Exodus chapter 12, and let's look at verse 23 here. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23. So all these events, as I said, all this ritual, all the ceremonies were leading to something very important. What was it? Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. Verse 26. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? And verse 27. That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt and struck the Egyptians and delivered our household. This is the whole point about this day, brethren. This day has a specific meaning. This day has a specific name, Passover. So then we should not be confused that there is a difference between the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread. They don't go together, okay? As some people think. Never, ever they go together. There is a specific meaning. Like, you know, if you would go to Leviticus chapter 23, all the holidays I name what they stand for. Unleavened bread is for something. Passover is for something. The trumpet is for something. And tabernacle is for something. Can't escape it. God tried to keep it simple. He's not trying to confuse us. So today, while the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath today will be over, the Feast of Unleavened Bread will start this evening at sunset. So the first portion of this day, which is a night, we also call the night to be much observed. What is this night? And what is the entire Feast of Unleavened Bread all about? If you're in Exodus chapter 12, just look at verse 17 here. As I said, God is not author of confusion. He's always very clear and precise, passing down the message to us. We just like to mess it around it and, you know, bring into our own doctrine, our understandings, and, you know, our own confusions into God's text, okay? Verse 17 here, the same chapter, Exodus chapter 12, verse 17. Look what it says here. Once the Passover is done, verse 17. So you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Why? For on the same day, I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. Crystal clear. No confusion there. And skip down to verse 34. The meaning of this day of unleavened bread. Why God wanted to name this festival, the seven-day festival, the unleavened bread. Verse 34. Because all this thing happened so quick that verse 34, so the people took their dove before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Okay? So basically, things were happening so quick that in the morning, or at sunrise, when usually the bread was baked, they have no time to put the leaven in it, mix it up, wait till it's going to raise, and then bake it. There was no time for it. It was time to go. No leaven. You leave leaven behind you. You just grab what you have it, what you started, unfinished product, and just move on. Run out of Egypt. This is the commandment. Now, why did God ordain a 7 day? Not just one. Why did God ordain 7 days for unleavened bread? And we know it. We know from the Bible that the whole Israelite trip started on the first day of unleavened bread. You can't deny it. It's all over the place, right? But as you watch very carefully, they did not exit Egypt on the first day of unleavened bread. It was impossible. Egypt was a big country back then. And even today is still a big country. So it was impossible for them to leave Egypt on the one night. That was just the beginning of their journey towards leaving the land of Egypt, okay? Numbers 33. And I'm going to cover a lot of scripture that Pastor Mori covered last week, but this is the time, this is the year, this is the hour that it's good to refresh all the scriptures that we normally wouldn't go during the Feast of Tabernacle and any other time of the year. Numbers chapter 33 here. And we know all recorded journeys here, right? So let's read from chapter 33, verse 1. Let's read it here. These are the journey of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt, but their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to the starting points. So the starting points, they departed from Ramses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. Okay? That's the starting point, right? That's the first day. The first day of leavened bread. The Abib 15. For the Egyptians, verse 4, were buying all their firstborn whom the Lord had killed among them. Also under God, the Lord had executed judgment. Verse 5. Then the children of Israel moved from Ramses and camped at Sukkot. You can check the map. Where is Sukkot? It's still Egypt. It's still not a promised land. It's still Egypt, okay? They departed from Sukkot and camped at Etam, which is on the edge of the wilderness. Still Egypt. Okay, still Egypt. And then verse 7, they moved from Etam and turned back to, you know, all the cities. This is so difficult to pronounce, but you can read it. And Nineveh, Baal, Zaphon, and they camped near Migdol. And verse 8, they departed from before Herod and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, and then 3 days journey into the wilderness. Why they passed the sea? They crossed the Red Sea. That was it. That's what we could say. The land of Egypt was on the other side. And I believe, I know it's in the Bible. I know it's in the Bible, but I believe personally that Israel finally left Egypt on the last day of unleavened bread, on the seventh day. That's why the whole festival is called for 7 days from the beginning to the end. You know, it took them 7 days eventually to cross the border of Egypt, you know, through the Red Sea. What a miracle. Another great and wonderful miracle. And now, if you go back to Exodus chapter 14 here, Exodus chapter 14, we'll see this thing. Exodus chapter 14. Look at verse 26. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out their hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on a dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right side and on their left. So the Lord saved that day. So the Lord saved Israel at that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And verse 31, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done, where? Which the Lord had done in Egypt. Even up to this point, that was still on the territory of Egypt. Okay? So the people feared the Lord and believed. And the Lord and his servants Moses. What a miracle. What an amazing power, God's power of display. Can you imagine this? As great miracle was the Passover night, as the great power at work for the first day of unleavened bread, what a great power to finish the festival on the seventh day. That's why there was a command for the children of Israel to remember a specific night, the night to be much observed. It was beginning of their journey out of the land of Egypt. Now, what I do for the rest of my time that I have here today, just three quick questions, okay? And some of the questions we already partially, we answered them. But just again, so I want you to have this simple understanding of this day. I don't want you to be mixed up because people are confused all over the place. They mix these days up. They have no clue what's happening. But I want you to be clear about this thing. Passover is Passover. Days of Unleavened Bread is a Days of Unleavened Bread. So we already answered some of it, but let's just go slowly now, okay? Just slowly. My first question would be that we're going to answer it together. What is the night to be much observed? What is the night to be much observed all about? Then we go to the second question. is the night to be much observed, and the Passover night the same? Or there are two different nights? We already answered it partially. You should know the answer. But we cover some other scriptures, that give people a lot of difficulties. And third question, why was this night so important to God? Why was this night so important to God? And why it should be so important to us, to you and to me? Okay? Now slowly, take a breath. Start from the beginning. What is the night to be much observed? Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. You know the scripture very well. Let's look at it again. Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on the very same day, or on the selfsame day, some King James Version, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. Now, I will read you just, you know, the same scriptures, the same verses, but from, you know, two other translations, okay, through other biblical translations. This one, first one, I will read it from the Living Bible. And listen carefully I think this is just a brilliant caption, what happened there. So the same verses from the Living Bible. The sons of Jacob and their descendants had lived in Egypt 430 years. And it was on the last day of the 430th year that all of the Jehovah's people left the land. This night was selected by the Lord to bring his people out from the land of Egypt. So the same night was selected as the day for an annual celebration of God's deliverance. That's very good. Let me read you another from the Revised English Bible. The Israelites had been settled in Egypt for 430 years. At the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the tribes of the Lord came out of Egypt. This was the night when the Lord kept vigil to bring them out of Egypt. It is the Lord's night, a vigil for all Israelite generations after generation. And let me give you another one. I have one here for NIV version, New International Version. Now, the length of time the Israelite people live in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's division left Egypt, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. So as you can see, there is a command, a clear command in the Bible. Israel was to keep the night to be much observed in order to commemorate the reason why they were able to leave Egypt so easily. So easily and unharmed. Think about it for a moment. They were slaves. They have no power. They have no authority. There's nothing they could do about it. They could have just have a meeting, call everybody, says, you know what? Let's just go out. Let's just go out, leave the countries and, you know, and see what's going to happen. No. All this plague, all this thing leading, all this, everything was leading to the one critical point, to the firstborn dead of Egyptians, and eventually, as a free people, as a nation, established under Moses, crossing the Red Sea on the last day of unleavened bread, and become eventually free under the God's banner. What a miracle. What a miracle it is. And it's great to go over things like that, at least on a yearly basis, as we observe Exodus, as we're observing Passover and the days of unleavened bread, just to remind us, just to see the awesome power of God at his disposal, what we can do. What he can do if he put his mind to something. Now, so we all have idea now what the night to be much observed is all about. Now, the second question I ask is the night to be much observed and Passover night are this the same two nights, or you know, are this, is everything the same? Is just the one night, or there are separate nights? So partially, we answered some of these questions, right? Partially, we answered some of the questions. But again, I just want you to remind you, Passover or passing over, as its name suggests, it's all about the dead angel passing over the Israelites and killing at the same time the firstborn of Egyptians. Passover was the great event that it was a great event that enabled the whole Exodus from Egypt, okay? So clearly there is a distinction between Passover and the unleavened bread. Now, let's go to Numbers chapter 28. And I want you to look for the simplicity here, okay? For the simplicity here. Numbers chapter 28. We apologize there. I know you guys lost the vision. You couldn't see me for a while. But I think hopefully everything is back in normal. Numbers 28. I hope you were able to hear me, whatever I was saying. Numbers chapter 28. And look, I've got specific and simple instructions, okay? Numbers chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. Just read it. Verse 16. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. Period. No confusion, right? It's a very simple instruction to understand. On the 14th day of the 14th, on the first month is the Passover. Verse 17. On the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. And you shall present an offering made by fire. And here, days of unleavened bread, I just want you to pay attention to what kind of offering you shall bring to made by fire, because this is very important, okay? So, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs in their first year. Be sure they are without blemish. So, the reason why I'm asking this thing, because what you were able to offer as a sacrifice for a Passover day, what options did you have? It was either lamb or a goat. Nothing else. You couldn't take a cow. You couldn't take a donkey. Okay? You couldn't get any other animal. It was a specific, very specific. It had to be a lamb or a goat. On the first day of unleavened bread, all things is open again. Okay? And when people came to Jerusalem to observe this pilgrimage feast, they were doing a lot of sacrificing during the week, not just for the Passover, but also during the days of unleavened bread. Okay? That's why the instructions was clear when the people arrive at Jerusalem, they shall not come empty-handed. It wasn't just the sacrifice that was made, you know, lamb on the Passover day. A lot of other sacrifices were happening, you know, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I'm telling you, just to keep this thing in mind, because we're going to go to a scripture now, which bring a lot of confusion to so many people. Once you have this basic understanding, we'll just fly through all of this thing and we'll see how clear it is. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 1. So many people are concerned. So many people are confused about this part of the scripture here. So let's read it. So it was read to us by Brother Tom today. I'll read it again and we'll go verse by verse. So you have a full flow of this text. So I'll quickly read the first 1 to 8, and then we'll go again verse by verse. Observe the month of Abib, then keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall eat not leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, that is the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. That you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight till morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, but the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, at the time he came out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat in a place which the Lord your God chooses. And in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the 7 days there shall be a sacred assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. So if you have no idea what I'm saying, why this text is confusing, so we'll go verse by verse and just to see what you can see here. But if you are from our congregation here in Burlington, if you might have any questions or, you know, comments, just, you know, please reach me right there. You can reach me on a Slack message or whenever, just call me. Or you want to see me, you know, next week I have a many days off. We can meet together, come to my home. We can discuss some of the stuff if there is still a confusion about this part of the scripture, right? So observe the month of Abib. One more time. Here, observe this month. It's important. Right back there before all the Exodus happened, God already put them on his time. He says, from you, from all now on, this for you shall be the first month of the year. Right away, God intervened, right? So he says, throughout your generations, you need to observe the first month of the year. And he says, and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. And you need to remember that the name Passover and the days of unleavened bread are used interchangeably throughout your scripture. Okay? Interchangeably mean sometimes the scriptures talk about the Passover, and our mind is said that this must be the Passover lamb, but actually the script is talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And just to show you as an example, that was exactly during Christ's time, and that's exactly how it is today. How many of us says, I don't use the language that I'm going to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Usually I say, in general, I'm keep the Passover. We're keeping the Passover for 8 days. That's what usually I refer to. During my message, I try to distinguish the difference between the Passover and unleavened bread. But in general, in our family, when we sit together, we're talking about the Passover. Okay? Hold your place here in Deuteronomy. Go to Luke chapter 22 quickly. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 1. And here, this is Luke writing his gospel. It says, now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called what? Passover. Wait a minute. That's exactly what happened back there, okay? Except the people knew the difference. Many of us just are confused because we read in the scripture, Passover means, oh, this text strictly refers to the Passover, right? So we have to pay attention. So right now we know some, we have some basic information. Just go back. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16. It says here, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Okay? Hold on. So now, if he brought him out by night, we're not talking about the Passover. We're talking about the days of unleavened bread. Just keep reading. The evidence will come up. Okay? Verse 2. Because of that, God saying, therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God. Okay, I'm thinking like, wait a minute, Jen. You shall sacrifice the Passover, right? So if you sacrifice the Passover, it needs to be a lamb or a goat, okay? Wait a minute. Read the context, okay? Read the context. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God. And read what it says here. From who? From the flock and from the herd. Wait a minute. Can I sacrifice a donkey for a Passover? Can I sacrifice a cow? Can I sacrifice a bull for a Passover? That God allows me through his instructions to do that? No, it's not. So is this thing actually speaking about the Passover, or is it actually speaking about the days of unleavened bread? Or even be more specific, we'll see a little bit later, maybe this instruction is speaking about the night to be much observed. Let's see. From the flock, from the herd, in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. Okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 3. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the what? The bread of afflictions. We already talked about it. They have unleavened bread, 7 days. It took them 7 days to leave Egypt. And that was really the bread of afflictions for them. Okay? For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. Okay? Passover was about passing over. First day was about leaving Egypt. Last day was about crossing the border. See ya. We're not going to see the Egyptians no more. It's done deal. Okay? Now, verse 4. And no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day, and there he come, which you sacrifice the first day, what's the first day? Is it Passover? Is it day of unleavened bread? Which you sacrifice that first day, and here the word twilight is actually no twilight, is actually the Hebrew word be'erev, it means at sunset, which you sanctify at sunset, remain overnight till morning. Okay? Now, verse 5. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you. And verse 6. But at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall sacrifice the Passover. And again, at twilight is at Ba'erev, at night, at sunset. At the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. So now wait a minute here. If I take every single word for it says here, it basically means that at the time when the sun was coming down, at the time when you sacrificed your Passover lamb, that's the time when you left Egypt. Is that what you say here? That's how we should understand from this verse here? If you think that this offering is a Passover ring, that you might come to the conclusion, yeah, that's exactly what it is. But it doesn't say that. Because it's impossible. We know that lamb was sacrificed first, that the dead angel came later, and the leaving Egypt came even much later. It didn't happen instantly. When they sacrificed the lamb, the right away they left Egypt. So again, I'm telling you, this is not about the Passover offering. This is about the first day of unleavened bread. Okay? And it specifically is about the first night, the first day of unleavened bread, as we see a little bit later. Now, and look at verse 7. Because so many people are confused. So many people are just, you know, spinning their heads when they read this thing. Because this is, doesn't fit into my understanding of the Passover, right? Some people like to pick and choose. Even what Christ did. Some people like to say, oh, Christ couldn't have the Passover, right? And, you know, he had just the Last Supper. Even many of us feel it to the saying, oh, Christ had the Last Supper. He couldn't have a Passover. But then if that's the case, then first you have to say that Mark, Luke, and Matthew, they were all liars. That's what you have to come to the conclusion. And on top of that, Jesus Christ was a liar too, because he said, I want you to go and prepare a Passover for me. But he was a liar too. Which, you know, it can be. And I'm sorry, I'm throwing a strong accusations here, but sometimes, you know, comes to the point, all this discussion in and forth, that we would rather take the, you know, the Jewish culture and traditions into place of a writing, the scriptural text. And just keep reading there. Verse 7. And look what it says here. And you shall roast and eat it. And, you know, just wait a minute here. It says, you shall roast. So, you know, the Passover lamb, the specific commandment for the sacrifice, you shall roast, okay? So hold your place here. Hold your place here, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. It says here, Exodus chapter 12, 8. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire. Do me a favor. Look at the Hebrew word here for roasted, what it means, okay? Just check it. Check the Hebrew word for roasted. And here is a specific instructions. You cannot boil the offering for the Passover. It's only roasted. That's the only form how we should take this sacrifice of the Passover. Only roasted. You can't boil. You can't do anything with it. Okay, only roasted. Go back, check the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word here is tzali. I don't know how to pronounce it. Please, you know, just forgive me my pronunciation. But basically, strict to roast. Okay, go back. Deuteronomy chapter 7 here. Because here, the translator was so much confused. This is actually speaking about the Passover. It's speaking on the first day of Unleavened Bread. What is it speaking here about? So even here, they translated the word roast, which is not supposed to be roast, because here the Hebrew word is bashal, which means to boil. And my question is, since when you can boil the Passover lamb or a Passover goat? It was never, ever allowed. Never, ever allowed under any instructions in the Torah. So what is he talking about here? It can't be talking about the Passover sacrifice. It has to be about the days of unleavened bread. Just keep reading. In a place which the Lord your God chooses, and in the morning, and in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. Wait a minute. So that's supposed to be night to be much observed. So if this thing is the whole night, that you observe the whole night, you sacrifice on the night. This is the sacrifice provision for the night to be much observed. Once the night is over, it's all done. You go back to your tents, right? What is there any confusion here in the text? I don't see any. Keep reading. So if that's the first day of the unleavened bread, then what? Then 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Okay? And on the seventh day there shall be a secret assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. Amen. That's Deuteronomy chapter 16. You know what? It is amazing that people who actually, you know, like try to prove some text about when this Passover really happened. It is amazing how they pick some text and ignore the others, or to pick the text that actually, you know, fit into their understanding what the Passover Days of 11 is about. But brethren, if you want to see the whole picture, every single text that we go through the Bible is supposed to fit in and supposed to make sense. If it doesn't, then it means that we don't see something there. We need to study a little bit more, spend a little bit more time. Okay. Now with this, I don't see any problem with Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1 to 8. I have no issue where it fits. I know where it fits. This is the offering for the night to be much observed. That's why it's called the night, not just the half night or just the few hours of the night. It's called the whole night of keeping a vigil. And in the morning, you go to your tents. That's what it's all about. And let me read this verse 7 that we just covered about roast, okay? Roasted. Let me read it from the, I think this is from New Revised Standard Version. It says, now you shall cook it and eat it at the place that the Lord your God will choose. Huh, it's not roast. So it's very interesting here. Now we can see that scripturally, brethren, scripturally, Lord's Passover and the first day of unleavened bread is not the same. It's not the same. They're two different evenings with the two different meanings, specific meaning. Now, let me tackle the last point here. Why was this night so important to God? And the last part of this question, why it should be important for you and me? Okay? So what I will do today, I will cover the first part, not even fully. I will just give you one reason. Why this night is so important to God. What I would like you to do today, as you gather together in accordance with the commandments, as you gather together, you go to people's homes, go to people's houses. Why don't you engage in other into this conversation? What is so special about this night? Why is this night so special to God? And why is this night so special to me? Talk about it. Instead of talking about some other stuff, that is not important, like, you know, talking about the sports and the weather and, you know, and your pets or whatever it may be. Try to talk about these things that are important. Why is this night so important to God? And why is this night supposed to be important to you? You know, and we personally might come with different answers, which is okay. Which is okay. That's why when you gather together, it's good to hear other people's perspective and to appreciate. Why this night was so important to God? Let me tell you one reason why. Because God's reputation was on the line. You say like, wow, wait a minute. That's right. His reputation was on the line. That's why all over the place, when you read all this, you know, the Exodus of Egypt, you can see God's presence there all the time. He kept a night vigil. making sure that everything's going to go according to his plan. Okay? So God's reputation was on the line. And now, let me go back. You know the answer why, but let's go back and just refresh our memory. Pastor Murray was there. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 15 again. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And just quickly here a few verses. Genesis chapter 15. I read verse 13 first. 15 and 13. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. So God is already saying what's going to happen in the future to Abraham. Okay? When God says something, he can change his mind. He says, you know what? I was just confused, or I didn't have much sleep, or, you know, I was just too excited and my words just, you know, burst out of my mouth. No, when God says something, it means it's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. So God is saying already, he's making a prediction. He's not just making a prediction. He's making a prophecy. So for all of us to see how faithful he is to his covenant. Okay? How faithful to his covenant. He will do everything. He will do everything, whatever is in his power to accomplish his things. Okay? Now skip down to verse 17. And it came to pass, and if you study the chronology of this chapter, from Melchizedek, wine and bread, that's the chapter, that's the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread. Here, came to pass when the sun went down, okay, at the end of 14, beginning of the 15, and was dark, and that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. And verse 18, on the self same day, on the very same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, and we know what he said, right? That's what he did. On the self same day, he made a covenant with Abraham. On the self same day, Exodus chapter 12 and then verses 40, 41. On the self same day when he made the covenant with Abraham, the self same day, he's leading the army, his own army, he's leading out of Egypt. So when I said God's reputation was on the line, that's what I mean. If Egypt would just left, whatever, next year, 3 years later, or whatever happened, it couldn't happen like that. It had to be a very specific according to God's covenant. And Hebrews chapter 6. And this is just the great part of the scripture that's going to support the point what I just mentioned here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, Hebrews 6, verse 13, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For many deeds swear by the greater, and an oath for a confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise of immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath. Verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. What a wonderful part of the scriptures about our God, brethren. And let me just read you just a few verses here from the Living Bible here. And just 16 through 18, I'm just going to read 16 through 18 here as we come to the close. I know it's a very busy Sabbath today. Many ladies will be preparing food, so I don't want to give a long message. Coming short, we will finish, you know, shortly here, next 5 minutes or so. Let me read this 16 verse and 18 from a different translation. And just listen to the words. When a man takes an oath, he's calling upon someone greater than himself to force him to do what he has promised, or to punish him if he later refuses to do it. The oath ends all argument about it. God also bound himself with an oath so that those he promised to help would be perfectly sure and never need to wonder whether he might change his plans. Verse 18. He has given us both. He has given us both immutable things, okay? His promise and his oath. Two things we can completely count on. For it is impossible for God to tell a lie. It's impossible for God to tell a lie. And he promised to Abraham many, many things. And he's still working out the plan of salvation that he promised to our forefather, Abraham. And as I said it, what he promised to Abraham and what he accomplished through Exodus, what he accomplished by Jesus Christ dying on the cross, it's to the year, it's to the month, it's to the week, and it's to the hour. That's how precise our God is. So when today, thousands of years ago, when we read, when we study the scripture, we can fully understand how amazing God's powers is. So we can have this assurance of our faith, that this faith is not just empty faith in something that, you know, can collapse today or tomorrow under the pressure. Not our God. Let me just finish here in John chapter 8. It's my last scripture. John chapter 8. And as I said, as you sit down today, whether with your family, with your church family, maybe by yourself. If you're by yourself, call somebody. Call somebody. Call a brother or a sister in a church. Okay? Don't sit by yourself. Call a brother or a sister. Have a conversation. What is so special about this night? Okay? Why this night is so special to God? Why this night should be so special to all of us? Okay? And I want to finish it in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, when you're going to crucify the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. And that I do not think of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And today evening, try to put this part of your conversations too. How many things you do by your own thing, by your own accord? And how often you actually stay focused, still aligned with God's will and in Christ's will? You like to break the boundary and go over God's word because you think it's okay? Are you faithful to his words? Just keep reading. And that I do not think of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Shouldn't we be all the same? Just as our Lord Christ taught us, that's what we speak. Or we speak our own words. And he, verse 29, who sent me, is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I always do those things that please him. Brethren, if you're going to do things, if you're going to do work that belongs to our Father, if you're going to go about our Father's work, you will never, ever be left alone. May God bless you all, brethren. We're still in the hours of a Passover day, but soon, soon, I'll welcome at least this part of the globe. We'll welcome the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread with night to be much observed. Brethren, rejoice. Happy feast to all of you. May God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Deacon Jan. Very powerful message. We'll close in prayer and then we'll have a hymn. Dear God, thank you for allowing us to gather in your presence today. And please bless this message that we've just heard and allow us to fully grasp it and apply it into our lives so that we can live as best as we can according to your way. Father, we thank you so much for this holy time that you have allowed us to partake in and allowed us to be present for. Please bless everyone as they gather either together with other members or with family in their homes for this special night. And we thank you for everything that you give us every day. And we pray that we are able to come together tomorrow for the first day of the unleavened bread. And we pray that everything in our lives goes according to your plan and we're able to follow you. And we pray all these things in your Son's holy and righteous name. Amen.